Hey guys, this is Sydney.
And I'm Megan.
And this is Tales of the Wicked.
Hello, and welcome back to another week of Tales of the Wicked. We are trying a new thing this week. We are recording online from our houses. I have an 8-month-old, and we were at Sid's last week for what, 7, 8 hours, and
All day.
he was not happy about it. So today we're recording from home. He's sitting in his room with his favorite show and his toys. He's happy, I'm happy,
All
and
around really happy.
let's hope it makes for a better recording this week. So I haven't seen you since last week. What's been going on? How are you?
I'm good. I've mostly been living a very exciting life, and I've been working. I work every other weekend, and I have 12-hour shifts, so I sit and either run around or do nothing. So it actually was kind of nice because this week I wasn't that busy on Sunday, so I was able to like type up my case and look at all the articles, and I didn't have to rush through it. So that was nice. What have you been doing?
Oh, I've really been enjoying my week off from doing research and not having to do all the work this time. So,
It was a little like stressful because I was like, oh my gosh, what if I don't find the perfect case? What if my case doesn't make sense? And then I was typing it and I was like, man, this might suck, but I have to do it. Like,
it's okay. It's okay. That's how I was with my first few episodes. Like with the first one, Albert Fish, I was like, oh, I've never heard of this guy. Sorry, I'm lighting a candle. I don't know if you can hear in the background.
I can't.
I was like, let's see what this guy's about. And I read it, I'm like, oh no, he's horrible. But I'm
Let's
already
do it.
hours into my research. No turning back now. You're
Right.
suffering with me. Let's go.
Right.
So it's all right.
Gosh. We have a Christmas party this weekend, like Megan and I
Yes.
do. So last week we said that we met because our husbands have been lifelong friends and we have a really big friend group. And there's like four or five different couples in our friend group, and we do a whole lot of everything together. So we did a Thanksgiving like trip, which was where we recorded the Hocking Hills murder, and then we're all going to Vegas together for someone's 30th birthday. And so
And also
we're
our honeymoon that we never took. So
yes, that's
you'll be on my
right. That's
honeymoon with me.
oh, that's so
Excited.
exciting.
I hope we get to do something romantic together. Me and you, not me and
Yeah.
Aaron.
Yeah, we can go to a nice candlelit dinner, give each other little gifts.
What if we do a candlelit ghost tour?
No, that sounds terrible. You can do that with
No.
Aaron, your real husband.
Oh, all right. Not my fake husband.
Yes, not your fake husband.
Okay.
Your true
That.
crime murder husband.
Well, he doesn't like it
I like
either.
it, but I just it scares me.
Oh, hi, there's a Sammy. Sorry, I'm looking at the webcam and I can see Sid's dog, Sammy.
He's a big goofball. He's a big
He's
fuzzy
my guy.
guy. The Christmas party this weekend. What are you taking? For
Food or
food, for
gift?
gifts, both.
So for food, I wanted to go with my usual cheesy potatoes, but I was also kind of sick of making it.
Right?
So I'm
That's
doing a
fair.
bruschetta.
Oh, that sounds tasty.
It
That
is,
sounds
yeah. I've
really
made it
good. Have you
before,
made?
and I've made it a couple times, yeah.
I don't remember it. Do you like to bring it to a party?
It was the last game night we did at Andrea's. Like years ago.
Oh. Well, it must have tasted good because if it was bad, I would have remembered.
Yeah. What are you doing?
I'm bringing cocktail meatballs, which I hate making.
Then why are you bringing them?
Because John said that it's a Christmas tradition and that they taste really good, and so that's what I'm bringing. Not that they're hard, but like you either use frozen meatballs or you make your own meatballs, and John's like, you should make your own meatballs and toss them in the sauce and da 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 da. And I was like, that
Tell John
sounds
he can do all that then. I
yeah.
think frozen meatballs are fine.
Well, that's what he's getting because he's not going to make them because he works on Friday and I don't.
Oh, yeah, that's
What do
true.
you What are you taking for your white elephant gift?
Okay, so we picked, because I picked out one and Aaron picked out another one. And the long sigh was because I don't think this other gift was a good idea, but you know how
Okay.
Aaron is.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's fine, but I just don't think anyone's going to use it. But I mean, hell, the
Yeah,
last
that's
time we did a
how.
white elephant gift, I bought that Snoop Dogg cookbook. Do you remember
Yeah, I do.
that?
I do.
No, this year we're going to be a little more lame about the gifts, and I bought a black like wine tumbler. So like, because the guys in
Oh.
our group like to drink wine too, so I bought like a nice matte black one, so that way it's fine for anyone.
Yeah.
Because it was like that or rose gold.
Me.
And then Aaron bought this night light that when it lights up, it's the Death Star. And he looks and he goes, "That's Star Wars, right?" I'm like, "Yeah, sweetie." He goes, "Death Star?" I'm like, And then it like had three other options. He goes, "Well, all three of these are Star Wars." I'm like, "Yeah, sweetie, it's a Star Wars nightlight." He's like, "Oh, okay." He's asking me like which one they are. I'm like, "I haven't watched Star Wars since I was like seven. I don't know."
I would, John and I would love that gift. So you're gonna have to tell me which bag it's in so I can try to get it. Because literally,
Okay.
like, I know everyone listening can't see my webcam, but Megan can see my webcam. And on the wall next to me is like Star Wars stuff. So, like, I have the Millennium Falcon and R2D2. So, Star Wars is right up my alley. And I would love that gift. My
You
gifts are
know,
lame.
in all honesty, it could be the Millennium Falcon. I don't know.
You did.
Like I told Aaron, I only watched the lightsaber battles, and then as soon as they stopped, I stopped because I didn't care about anything else.
So you
I
have no
just.
idea what this nightlight is then.
No, it's one
Oh.
of the two because I know those are the only two.
Or are they?
I don't know. Who's to know? I don't know.
I don't know. We're gonna find
You'll
out
have to let me
whenever.
know.
Yeah, I will once I open the gift. I got very basic gifts because I'm very basic and didn't know what else to do. So I actually found, and I like my one gift, like me personally, but I don't know if other people would like it. I got it at Hobby, where was it? Hobby Lobby or it was HomeGoods? I think it was HomeGoods. And it's like this really, really nice, like thick wood cutting board, and it has like one of those trucks with like the Christmas tree in the back, and it says like fresh cut trees on it and stuff.
I
Like,
love that.
yeah, so it's like a Christmas cutting board. And then my
Okay, you'll have to
second,
let me know what bag that's in because I
yeah,
want
we could just
that.
alternate gifts. And then my other gift, which I'm almost like 99.9% positive, I did this last time. So this just shows that I gravitate towards the same things every single time.
Is it the baking bowl stuff?
So I went to Target and the like dollar spot thing had this really cute like ceramic jar that said like Santa's cookies on it. So I have the jar and it has like a wood top and everything, and then I put different Christmas cookie cutouts in it. And then I have my sweet grand, my grandma, I have her cookie recipe like written down, like her sugar cookie recipe, and I stuck it in the jar.
Oh,
Yeah, so I mean, it's very like they're both very Christmas geared type gifts.
that's cute. Yeah. Oh, we just
But
typed in gifts under $10 on Amazon, and then that's what you're getting, so.
a Star Wars nightlight.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid of the dark and I like Star Wars.
There you go. It's perfect.
Dang. All right. Well, we'll let you guys know next week who got what gift.
Yeah, and how the gift exchange went.
Yeah, hopefully we get something good
I
and
know
not.
who you have.
Yeah, because did Aaron tell you like what he his whole random message that he sent me?
No, but I know who you have because of phase 10.
Oh, yeah, obviously,
When,
because you
because he doesn't
asked, and
listen
then
to us,
I,
so we can say.
yeah, we were
So, yeah.
sitting there. You can tell the story.
Okay. So we were sitting there playing phase 10. It's me, Sydney, and then our friend's husband, Andy. And so we're all playing. It's like, what, 2, 3 in the morning. We're supposed to wake up
Oh, it's
before
so
10
late.
to leave the cabin.
Yeah.
And it was. I might argue the most heated game of phase 10, because we started with five and two dropped out. They just couldn't handle the fact that I won
You
so
barely
nicely.
made it. I had the same fate. I was on the same phase, had all my cards, and Megan just happened to lay hers down before me and won. But that's
It's
here.
okay.
Like,
She's not
that's
bitter
fine.
about it at all.
No,
It's
I'm not.
fine.
I'm not. Continue with your story, though. We
Anyway,
didn't need
so
to know who won.
I just wanted to make sure you remembered. I want to make sure
Yeah, I
John
remember.
remembered because he left very early on. He
Yes,
was
he did.
very mad.
Yes, he was.
And then Alex kept coming back because he was mad that I wiped it, like I wiped out the deck in just one nice clean
Oh
hand.
my, you
And
had
then he
like,
accused me of cheating, and it happened like
yeah.
four times.
That's how you won, because you were cheating. But it's fine. Continue. So
Beginner's
we're
luck,
playing phase
beginner's
10.
luck. And I think we were just talking about who had who, and you said, "Oh, I have someone at this table." I'm like, "Oh, clearly Andy's not listening, so it has to be him."
Well, no, so you told me who you had, and I actually completely forget who you had. What? No, I don't forget who you had because I know because you text me about
Yeah.
it. So you told me who you had, and I don't know if he was paying attention or said like who he had, but
I
we
don't
were
think he
sitting
did.
there and you're like, "What about you?" And I was like, "Well, I have someone at this table," and was like staring at you like, "Can't say anything." Like,
Oh, yeah, I knew what you were saying.
yeah, like I have Andy who's sitting right there. Gosh. All
Okay,
right.
so are you ready to tell your first story this
I
week?
am ready to tell my first story. I
I'm
hope
so
everyone else is
excited.
ready and that it's not bad.
Well, I'm
All
sure it'll be
right.
fine. Sorry, I'm yawning. I'm
There you
already
go.
bored.
You're already bored with my case, and I haven't told you what it
No,
is yet.
I'm
All
so
right.
excited.
So, whenever I started doing my like research to find a case, I was like nervous because there's so many different true crime cases out there,
It's hard to
and
pick where to start, yeah.
it really is. So I tried to like base it around this time of year, so December and Christmas, which is supposed to be a very happy time of year with your family, and I was trying to look up murder cases.
I hope you didn't pick the case I have picked out for next week.
Oh, great.
We'll see. I haven't done research yet, so if you did, that's fine.
Okay, so this case, I've never personally heard of this case, but it's really popular.
Okay.
They have like a docu-series on it and everything. There's a lot of speculation around the case. There's a lot of opinions.
Okay,
But
this
I'm
shouldn't be the one then. Okay.
okay. All right. So I'm just going to try to stick to the facts, starting off reading the case, and then I'll kind of give you some theories and stuff at the end.
Perfect.
All right. So this week, my case is going to be about the murder of John Vinay Ramsey. And I just wanted to give a little warning. She was, a child. So if that's something that you don't really want to hear about, you can always come back next week and listen to Megan's case. But I'm going to get started. So John Vinay, born August 6, 1990, was the daughter of John and Patsy Ramsey. Another thing, John Vinay was obviously named after her father, John. So I'll try to keep it straight who's who whenever I'm telling the story. But if you just need me to fix it or clarify for you, just let me know. She was the youngest of two children, having an older brother named Burke. The Ramsey family lived in Boulder, Colorado, and had a luxurious and comfortable lifestyle. The father, John Ramsey, was a multi-millionaire businessman, and the mother was a former beauty pageant queen. Patricia, who goes as Patsy, was Miss West Virginia in 1977. John Vinay was an adorable little girl and was described as outgoing and loved being the center of attention. She took after her mother, Patsy, and was a beauty pageant star. By the age of 6 years old, she had already won multiple pageant titles. She had the complete pageant look, the glitzy costumes and dresses, and had the real thick, curly blonde hair, which I'll post a picture of that on our Instagram. All right, let's get into it. John Vinay was last seen alive on December 25th, 1996. This would make her 6 years old around the time of her death.
Okay.
The family had gone to a Christmas party that night, got home around 10 p.m., and both John Vinay and Burke were put to bed. Around midnight, a neighbor nearby said they saw the Ramsey's kitchen light turn on, and another neighbor reported that they heard a scream come from the house around 2. Around approximately 5:30 a.m. the next morning, December 26, John and Patsy woke up to their daughter missing and a ransom note on their stairs. The note was handwritten, 3 pages long, and stated that their daughter was kidnapped, demanding $118,000 for her to be returned safely. The Ramsey family had immediately called the police, and they arrived at the home around 5:55 a.m. It wasn't until that afternoon, around 1 p.m., 6-year-old John Binet Ramsey's body would be found in the basement of their home, covered with a blanket. She had been beaten, strangled, had tape over her mouth, and her hands were tied together with a cord. The official coroner's report would mark her death, her cause of death, as aphasia by strangulation, in addition to a skull fracture. John Vignier also had been sexually assaulted, although there was no conclusive evidence of the sexual assault. So, in a couple of the articles that I read, they describe kind of like in detail how there wasn't any conclusive evidence of the sexual assault, but just to kind of like keep it PG, I didn't, say that, like, say what they found, but essentially they're saying that someone like tampered with the body or cleaned the body to where you wouldn't have any evidence
Okay.
that she was assaulted. And then finally, during the autopsy, they found pineapples in her stomach, which is something that we'll kind of talk about later and its importance.
Okay.
But so, like, my first question is, how did the parents not check the basement of the home? Like, they woke up and she was gone, and even though there's a ransom note, like, why didn't they still look around the house to see if there was anything like left behind? You know what I
Yeah.
mean?
Yeah, and like especially from like a parent's point of view too. Like if I couldn't find my kid, the first thing I would do is search every inch of the house, like every room. And she's what, a 6-year-old? She's really small. So like you think like you would want to check like places she like I know like when I was really young, I hid in like the cabinets and stuff and like you think that they would just tear apart the entire house trying to find her.
Right. It like I do that. I don't have any kids myself, but just like my cat, like Leo, he likes to hide all the time. And if I don't see him, I will literally run around the house like crying, calling his name, 'cause like where could he go? He escaped out the door.
I know, I've been to your house 1,000 times and I think I've seen him 4 times.
Exactly, 'cause he likes to hide and it scares me. My little fluff ball, he'd be gone. But like not only the parents, but the police, like they came, like they were very quick about calling the police. So they woke up around 5:30 and they literally called the police and they were there by 5:55. So like why even the police you think would have checked the house? You know what I mean?
Yeah, you think that they sh what time did they find her?
They didn't find her until 1 o'clock, like that afternoon.
Okay, yeah, you think that the police would have like done an even more extensive check of the entire house to find her immediately.
Right, exactly. And if there was an intruder or someone that would have gotten into the house, like, are you trying to look for evidence or you would look around the house to see if they like touched anything? You know what I mean? It's weird to me.
Yeah.
But we'll talk about that later, actually. So there were little to no signs of forced entry or an intruder. So suspicions fell quickly on John and Patsy Ramsey, John Binet's parents. Police felt that the ransom note found in the house was staged for multiple reasons. The note was unusually long and wordy. It was also handwritten using paper in the Ramsey's home. And then lastly, because of the amount of money that the kidnapper demanded in the note, so they had demanded the exact amount that John Ramsey, the father, had made as a bonus earlier that year.
What was the bonus again?
So the bonus was $118,000, which, like, that's a very specific number.
Yeah, that's an oddly specific number to just know, like, exactly how much he got, you know?
Right. Because
So.
at first, whenever I like was reading about this, they're like, "Oh, it's suspicious that they knew the like that someone wrote out that exact number." And I was like, "Oh, I don't really understand how that's suspicious." Like, but I
But with
mean.
that being such a very specific number, I don't know.
No
Just to
random
me,
Joe is
that,
gonna know that.
yeah, your neighbor down the road, unless they like work with your company and they also like got the bonus or people in the company knew what his bonus was,
Right.
I don't know how anyone would just like guess that number.
Yeah. So that was something that they kind of, that was a reason why they thought that, John and Patsy Ramsey, her parents, had something to do with it. And then also, so what the police did was they had handwriting samples submitted to them from each family member. And from that, they said that John and Burke, the brother who was 9 at the time, were cleared of any suspicion of writing the note. However, Patsy, her handwriting did resemble the writing on the ransom note, but nothing really came of this. It was just something that they thought was, a little off. And in most articles that I did read, in which I'll post all the links for, they make this point, but then they don't really, elaborate any further on it. Also, a fiber was retrieved from the duct tape on John Bonnier's body, and it matched the same fiber that was on Patsy's clothing. And
Okay.
then additionally, on top of that, this is kind of like they're really, a lot of things point towards this family. Additionally, on top of that, the Ramseys were reluctant to cooperate with the police when it came to questioning. It was later said that they did this because they feared the police would not conduct a full investigation and would target them as easy suspects. Although John and Patsy Ramsey were never officially named suspects in the murder, they spent years under the harsh limelight of the public eye and media. In 1999, 3 years later, a Colorado grand jury voted to indict the Ramseys on child endangerment and obstruction of a murder investigation. And then indict just essentially means that they're formally accusing them of a crime. However, Boulder District Attorney Alex Hunter decided not to charge them, citing insufficient evidence. After the case was dropped, the family moved to Atlanta, Georgia to escape the media. In 2006, this is 10 years later, and this is another person named Jar or John Mark Carr. Ooh, I put his last name and his first name together.
This is Jar.
This is Jar. John Mark Carr, John Beignet's former school teacher, was arrested after confessing to killing John Beignet by accident. He claimed to drug and sexually assault her. He was eventually dismissed as a suspect after it was revealed that no drugs were found in John Beignet's system. John Carr's DNA also did not match the profile generated from the samples found on the body. So the police, when they had John Beignet, there was blood that was on her underwear and then on her long johns, which is what she was sleeping in. So they took that sample and they have created kind of like a DNA profile. And that's how they've been trying to catch this killer. Sorry, you sounded like you were going to say something.
No, you're fine. So my
Okay.
question, okay, you said he confessed to this?
Yeah, so it says that in 2006, he confessed to the murder and he said that he did it by accident. And he said himself that he drugged and sexually assaulted her.
Okay,
But
so I just don't get why you would even, if you're not a suspect, and clearly, like, with the it being proven that he didn't do it because of the drug thing, why would you put your name into it? Why would you? I'm wondering if he got like threatened by someone or, you
well,
know?
that's what I was like. Did he get threatened? Did he get paid? Like, did someone pay? Like, I don't know. Like, it's just very random that you would wait all that time and then you would lie about it. Like, it isn't even true. Like, your DNA doesn't match. There were no drugs in her system. Like, nothing that you said even matched what actually happened.
Yeah, to me that kind of says maybe like, I mean, 'cause the blame was immediately put on her family and they have like wealth. Obviously, I'm just like speculating
Speculating.
here,
Yeah.
but like could they have paid him off to even not just 'cause maybe they knew that it would get proven untrue eventually, but maybe just to for a while get the focus off them.
Right. I mean, because if you like think about it, they were the media. I mean, this case is huge. So the media really focused on them to the point to where they even had to move into a different state just to, try to get away from it. So possibly, you don't, I mean, we don't know. It could be possible, but so about the case, the Boulder Police Department did make a lot of mistakes that could have compromised the investigation. So first off, they let the family move around the house freely while searching for John Beignet. And then also, they let the father disrupt the crime scene by removing his daughter's body from the basement. So John Beignet's dad is the one that found her in the basement. He went down there by himself, and he picked up, you know, his daughter and brought her upstairs to everyone else. And you would think that if the police showed up to someone's house where their daughter was kidnapped, which is what they originally thought, you know, they would have like blocked it off. They would have looked around the house, kind of what we said earlier, like they would have made it into a crime scene. But instead, they just kind of let the family do whatever they want to do, which people thought, you know, wasn't okay because they could tamper with stuff in the house, or they could, you know, get rid of what they needed to make it go against them, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that was definitely their first mistake. Speaking as someone who is not in law enforcement,
Right.
we know first thing it's a crime scene. You don't touch it. You leave
Yeah.
everything at it as it is. The family shouldn't have even been in the house. They should have been questioned and then taken somewhere else so they couldn't touch things.
Yeah.
And you said that her father found her and carried her up.
Yeah, so her father found her in the basement, covered up with the blanket, and he brought her upstairs whenever he found her.
Okay. So I know like that could be looked at as like super sketchy because maybe he, is trying to bring her up and like, oh, like look what I found and like stage his own scene.
Yeah.
Or I also get it, again from the parents' perspective of, oh, my child, I found you. I want to pick you up and hug you.
Right,
So I
yeah.
mean, like I don't know if it was, him setting the stage or his parental, but I have a hard time kind of believing the whole parent reaction, like, oh, let me go to my child. No, because I feel like he would have done more in the beginning to find
Right.
her.
Right.
So I feel
I don't
like,
know.
I don't know, in my mind, it just seems like he's trying to paint this picture of, oh, my poor child, I found her. Like, instead
Yeah.
of,
Yeah.
he's showing you what he wants you to see, in my opinion.
Right. So with the case, there's a couple of different theories that kind of like people in the media have come up with. Just looking at like the facts and the evidence that have been brought forward. And the first one, which is like the most obvious one, at least to me, is that the parents did it. The second theory is the intruder theory. And that is that there was a, you know, that there was intruder, but there was a boot print that was next to John Bonet's body that did not match anyone in the family. And then also on top of the footprint, the DNA from the drops of blood did not match anyone from the family. And then lastly, the Ramsey's family was said to be heavily carpeted. So if someone were to break into the home and, you know, get John Beignet from her bedroom and take her to the basement, it would be easy for them to kind of walk around with the carpet. They wouldn't have made that much noise. So it is
Yeah.
possible. And a lot of articles that I read, the intruder theory is, you know, the one that investigators are mostly going towards. And then the final theory, which really shocked me and I didn't even think about, was the brother. So do we remember the brother who was nine at the time?
Yeah,
And
Burke, right?
yes, yeah. And how when John Beignet at her autopsy, she had pineapples in her stomach, right? So they asked the parents about it, and the parents said that they don't remember giving her pineapples the night before she was murdered. But in the Ramsey's home, there was a bowl of cut up pineapples in the kitchen, and it had the then 9-year-old Burke's fingerprints on it. So they questioned Burke whenever everything happened. They took the family in, they questioned them. And when they questioned Burke, he said that he had slept throughout the night. And he's a 9-year-old. I mean, there's no evidence to state otherwise that he wasn't sleeping. So, you don't really look that much into it.
Yeah.
But if you like go, I, you know, obviously was looking this up, and there's a lot of comments on a lot of pages and videos that you see, and everyone really truly believes that the brother could have done this and that the parents helped him, clear it up. And I watched, so he went on the Dr. Phil show in 2016. So this is 20 years after the murder. And I watched this video, and you know how you're on YouTube, and on the side of YouTube, it has a bunch of recommended videos. And the first video that came up on the recommended videos was these four different guys that all dissected his body language and the way that he talked the entire time.
Oh, that's
And
interesting.
yeah, and like the one guy, I didn't watch the whole video. I mean, it was a really long video, and they literally broke down this entire interview. But just
Yeah.
kind of from the parts that I did watch, like the first guy, the one guy that was in this video, he, works with the FBI and stuff, and he was breaking down the way his eyebrows moved when he talked, and if he sat up, if he sat back, how he moved his hands, the way that he responded to things. And they're, trying to see if he was just someone who is socially awkward and or had autism, or, see if there was any reason, that he could have reacted the way that he did other than him just being guilty.
Yeah.
And then I saw this one theory online about, younger siblings. I have younger siblings. They like to do everything that you do. So one of these theories is that Burke was eating these pineapples, and John Vignette, wanted to have the pineapples because that's what her older brother had, and it made him mad, and he could have snapped, or he could have done something to hurt her.
I mean, I could definitely see that happening. And I'm saying this as the annoying younger sister. There have been plenty of times where my older brother Keith would get very mad. I remember one time specifically, our younger brother Kyle, I don't know what he did, but he made Keith so mad. He kicked a hole in the wall and then just looked at me and goes, "Next time it's gonna be you." And
Oh
we're
my
like, "Okay,
gosh.
that was super unreasonable." But
Yeah.
no, I could definitely see just like in the heat of the moment if the younger sister or sibling is doing something to annoy you, you just like snap. So like
Right.
maybe he, I don't know, grabbed the nearest object to him and hit her with that.
Right. I mean, she did have a fractured skull, so she had to have been hit pretty hard.
Yeah.
Or something. I mean, I don't know. The only question, though, and the one of those things that one of the things about the case that makes me think it's not the brother is that she was sexually assaulted, and maybe he did do that. I mean, he was only 9 years old and he was young, and I saw a video that they questioned the father and asked the father like if he sexually assaulted his daughter, and I mean, it happens, like it's common. You hear it in cases all the time, but like, did it actually happen in this case? I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, crazier things have happened. Like, for all we know, again, like, I don't know. I'm on the train of the family did something. That's just my opinion. And
Yeah.
so, in my mind, it could have, like, it doesn't seem too wild to me that maybe, you know, Burke did snap and then the parents wanted to cover this up. So, I'm not saying that they sexually assaulted her themselves, but, like, did something to make it look like she got sexually assaulted, and then painted the scene a certain way so that it looks like one type of thing, you know, to
Yeah.
throw everyone off.
Right.
I mean, crazier thing. I'm not saying that's what happened, obviously, but
Yeah, right.
I can't say that it should be ruled out altogether, though, because crazier things have happened.
Yeah. I just think that there's a lot of random things that are in this case that don't make sense and don't add up. And like, there's a ransom note asking for money saying their daughter is kidnapped. Yet she was in the basement dead that whole time.
Yeah. Or, I mean, it could have been like, If I remember correctly, they had or went to a Christmas party like that day, right?
Yeah, they went to one that day.
Okay, so I wasn't at their house. I was gonna say,
No.
like, what if someone that they knew was in their house and they, 'cause I'm assuming like they had money, they probably had a decent sized house.
Yeah.
What if someone was like hiding in their house waiting for them to go to bed and then snuck around in the night and did all that, and maybe she didn't cause a fuss like going
Because
to
it.
this person because it was someone she knew.
Yeah. I mean, you're not wrong. I don't know.
That's the frustrating about cases like this. Like, the possibilities for this are endless. Like, it could be literally anything, but we're never gonna know.
Yeah. There was a statement released in 2008 by the Boulder District Attorney, Mary Lacey. The Boulder District Attorney's Office does not consider any member of the Ramsey family, including John, Patsy, or Burke Ramsey, as suspects in this case. We make this announcement now because we have recently obtained new scientific evidence that adds significantly to the exculpatory value of the previous scientific evidence. We do so with full appreciation for the other evidence in this case. Local, national, and even international publicity has focused on the murder of John Benet Ramsey. Many members of the public came to believe that one or more of the Ramseys, including her mother or her father or even her brother, were responsible for this brutal homicide. Those suspicions were not based on evidence that has been tested in court. Rather, they were based on evidence reported by the media. And it
Okay.
is now 2021, and the murder of JonBenet Ramsey still remains unsolved to this day.
Oh, those unsolved ones. There's like unsolved ones in general really frustrate me, but there's like certain ones where
That make me
they're
even more mad.
extra frustrating. Yeah, it's like,
Yeah.
why can't we do this?
I mean, I feel like when I was doing the research, and obviously, like, I mean, you've heard this case, but people listening to the case maybe for the first time and me doing the research, like I was reading it and I was like, they're not gonna find it. They're not gonna find it. They don't know. Like, it's
No.
just so obvious that they don't know.
Yeah.
Because everyone talks about mistakes that were made and theories, and it's just like, they're not, I'm gonna read this and then I'm just gonna be mad because I'm not gonna find out in the end.
Yeah, and that's the thing, is like a lot of them, it's like if the investigation was done properly or better, because sometimes they can't help it. It's like a small town in
Right.
different times. They did what they could with what they had, but it just wasn't enough. Or
Yeah.
other times it's like just bad police work. I mean, I don't know. But
Yeah.
it's like if that didn't happen the way it did, then it could have been solved or it could have ended differently somehow.
Right.
Ugh. Well, thank
So
you.
yeah. That was my first case on Tales of the Wicked.
Oh, you did so good. How do you feel?
I feel like it sounded terrible, but it's
No.
okay. I
It sounded better than my first episode, so.
liked your first episode. He was just a very creepy man.
Yes, he was. No, you sounded good. You did good. I'm happy with it. Good job.
Thanks. Thanks. If other people thought it sounded good, you should rate us on Apple Podcasts. Give us one
Yeah.
star, give us five. It's up to you.
We prefer 3-star and up, but yeah, no, it definitely helps us out if you rate and review and follow us on Instagram, listen to us on Spotify.
Yeah, if you also enjoy it, tell your friends about it. Tell your coworkers
Yeah.
about it. You're sitting in the office, it's real quiet, no one's talking. Hey, I started listening to this new podcast and it was kind of cool. What's it called? Tales of the
Yeah, we need more listeners. We lost my mom and she
Wicked.
was a big part of the demographic. So we need
Yeah.
help, guys. Help us out.
Monica left us.
You know, that's
She can
okay.
be replaced. She's not a true
She's gonna listen
follower.
to this one and completely disown
Yeah.
both of us.
All right. Well, thank you
Well,
guys for joining us another week.
yeah, and then stay tuned for next week. I'm not saying what it is because the way we're doing this now is we're keeping our cases secret from each other. So, I
Yep.
mean, we do run the risk, like we had feared earlier, that we might cover the same case in the same week, but that's super unlikely. There's so much to cover out there. But
Yeah.
next week, I am doing a gruesome Christmas crime.
Oh
So,
boy.
look, okay, so it was between two options, and I let my older brother pick which one we're doing.
Keith.
So you can thank Keith for that one.
Thank you, Keith. We
Yeah.
appreciate it.
You're really gonna hate it, but it's okay.
Am I really?
I don't know, maybe.
No. All
Depends
right.
on how you
I'll
feel about gruesome crimes.
gruesome Christmas
All
crimes. Find out in a week.
right, guys. Well, stay tuned. Catch up with us next week, and don't forget to rate and review.
Yep.
And
Share with your
then,
friends.
yeah.
And as
And
always, you got to keep it creepy.
keep it creepy. All
See you guys
right.
next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.